I'm chanting my praise of the Buddha, my respects to the Triple Gems, because I'm trying to speak just like a microphone for the Buddha. And then you bear witness to that. So we join in a field of virtue and wholesomeness to remember what needs to be remembered. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ dhammaṃ saṅghaṃ namassāmi. So you've all experienced the journey here, coming from north, south, east, or west. We're trying to cross a border. And the border that we're trying to cross is from delusion to awakening, waking up. It's a border. And what's the passport? What's the ticket? What's the way through? It's the Eightfold Noble Path. It's not just meditation. But meditation is a bit like when you go to the doctor and he or she applies a stethoscope to your body to check on the painful part and see, what have you got? What's going on in there? So when we meditate, we have the opportunity to use the stethoscope of our awareness, our attention, to the present moment, to check in and see, what is the weather in there? What's it like in the mind? Is it settled? Is it restless? It's called hindrance duty. We're on duty. As soon as we sit down and listen and pay attention, it's an important way of bringing the path up into consciousness. And of course, we need precepts. The Buddha taught the Vinaya and the Dhamma. The Vinaya is the precepts, they're like guidelines. It's a bit like when you drive on a highway, there's a line down the middle, except on the little country roads where it's anybody's choice which side of the road they're going to drive on. But if there's oncoming traffic, you move to the correct side to avoid a crash. And so it is with this Eightfold Noble Path. We want to be on the right side of the road. I mean, the correct side of the path. Wholesome precepts are the guidelines. We take the precepts to keep ourselves from crashing into ignorance, unable to develop the path, unable to wake up to see our delusion, our ill will, our misguidedness. So this is very important. The Vinaya helps us to practice restraint. The precepts help us to prevent a crash, to do what we need to do to stay on the path and to avoid what will veer us into the ditch or break our vehicle or disrupt our ability to wake up. So the Vinaya is like a fence. It's a border. It's a border that keeps us within a wholesome space. And we don't want to stray beyond that. And when we do, our hindrance duty is to remember the precepts and remember present moment awareness. We try not to violate them, because violating the precepts brings harm to ourselves and others. It's violence. You use wrong speech, you violate yourself and others. And we violate the path. It's important for us to see the connection between violation and violence. And we want to err on the side of nonviolence. We want to stop the war. There's a war in here. And it's a war between unskillful habit and unskillful ways of thinking, speaking, or acting, and the path to purity, skillfulness, purification. So the purity of speech and action is a direct strength for purity of mind. And if our mind is not pure, we can't wake up. Really? Yes. We must see that connection. So it's really important for us to practice Vinaya in daily life. And Vinaya actually means a way to conquer those mental hindrances, a way to avoid danger. So when you get behind the wheel of the car, you don't want to be intoxicated because you could crash. And the way to drive our Dhamma vehicle safely is to be fully awake right now at this moment. We want to be alert, rested, awake, and able to sweep away unskillful mental states and hindrances like sloth and torpor, restlessness, anger, jealousy, any kind of violent thought, a violation of that which is wholesome. So we stay away from greed, hatred, and delusion as much in thought and speech and action as anything else. All three are critical. When we sit down to practice and we look at the condition of the mind, then we see the result of our daily life. How are we living our Dhamma life? Are we living a Dhamma life or just life according to our predilections? And that's where Vinaya comes in. So the Dhamma supports us to do what is going to wake us up. And the Vinaya supports us to prevent ourselves from straying off the path, from hindering. We're defiling what we're trying to accomplish. And we want to prevent that. So that means that when you're sitting down to meditate and you see the habit mind chewing away at your present moment awareness, you say, no, not that. And you choose, yes, this. And it's a conscious decision. It's like if you're the director of a program, of a mother managing children. And how do we learn? By making mistakes and seeing what doesn't work. But by now, after all these years of being alive and seeing what doesn't work, we've got to figure it out and keep our habits in line. Let go what doesn't work finally, because time is running out. If time isn't running out in your life because you're still young and you have forever, whatever that is, then look at the world. The world doesn't have forever, does it? Doesn't seem like it. So it becomes more and more urgent for us to be on track and to look through the stethoscope, listen to the condition of the mind and realize, oh my, I've got to let that go. I've got to straighten out my act and continue that. Reinforce those aspects that are working for you, that do enable you to sit and be present and fully devote yourself to waking up, to being on the path, in the moment, with your present moment experience and enjoying the peace of this practice, the fruits of your hard work over years. Even if it's only to reflect on the virtue of your life. that you are a kind person, that you do act generously, kindly to everyone in your life, including yourself. So we ask ourselves, am I kind? Am I generous? Am I thoughtful? Am I honest? Am I nonviolent? In body, speech, yeah. In thought, no. And then you think of, is there anyone I don't like? Yes. Then there's the metta. There's the letting go of grudge, the letting go of anger, the letting go of lack of forgiveness for whatever they did or whatever they failed to do. Can we forgive? And those actions of the heart are also under the umbrella of the precepts, because it's about non-harming. So in what way are we harming ourselves right here and now through holding on to things in the past or expecting things tomorrow, which we know aren't going to come about? But it isn't kind, it isn't real, and it's not generous to ourselves or anyone. So basically we're learning to listen and to see what is the condition of this body-mind, and how do we let go what needs letting go, and how do we bring forth what needs to be enacted. Any precept that you're a little bit careless about, bring it forth in daily life. Try not to harm those little insects that just want to nibble. Even the ticks. Having compassion when you remove a tick instead of hating it is just knowing it's harmful, so it has to be removed. But without that extra layer of ill will towards ourselves or anyone. Because the mind can slip into very passionate opinions about things that are not healthy, not helpful, and not contributing to our present moment awareness and our peace of heart. And we need this peace. We want the world to be a peaceful place, and yet we're doing this. It isn't minor. It's like a tall mountain. Why do people climb tall mountains? They want to prove something. We want to perfect virtue. It's very difficult to perfect virtue. We're human beings and we make mistakes. The Buddha has in place a system of training so that we help each other to get it right. So the practice of forgiveness for ourselves makes us stronger, makes us more mindful, more aware, and more intact, more capable. It's like you can be in self-drive in many areas, and then there are certain areas where you've got to really hold on to the steering wheel and pay attention. Because you know that those bumps are hard, and you're going to be present. You're going to have your hands on the wheel. I'm thinking of electric cars. In the same way, with our precepts, we pay that much attention so that we don't get into trouble, so that we advance. And then we feel so good. After years, it's just what you do. It becomes part of your nature. And that's when the practice really takes off. Because your mind knows where its true home is. And its true home is with that peacefulness, with making things beautiful in your life. And virtue of conduct and speech and thought, is really the most beautiful thing that we can do for ourselves and each other. It's better than any present that you can wrap up and give. It's just to show up every morning wearing the robe and pretending to be the Buddha. Because in the beginning it is like pretending, but after a while, the Buddha is where? The Buddha is in here, it's in your heart. It's not a man or a person. It's a wakeful mind that is inclining towards Nibbana. It's inclining towards perfection of the mind, towards awakening. And it happens in stages. It doesn't happen all at once. It happens with practice. That's what we're doing here. We're practicing to wake up. Whatever precepts we take them and we use them. We don't just, well, get that over with, now get on to the real stuff. Well, the meditation practice is as much concerned with waking up the precepts in the heart, because we want integrity of presence. It's a whole body-mind presence. It's not the brain being present, it's the heart surrendering itself to the present moment with all its energy, with all its faculties, with every skill that we can muster. We're here. That's why we start with the Vinaya, because we want to conquer the defilements. We want to scale that mountain, and we do it little by little. You know, it's like if you want to plant a hardwood tree, 40 or 50 years before you see much of a tree, you might not even be alive by then. But somebody else will see it and they'll love it, and you'll have the joy of planting it and helping it grow. And so we plant it now. We plant the plant, the seed. Now we put down the seeds and we keep watering. That's what the path is about. It's watering the seeds of awakening. And it's not just once in a while. In drought times, it's going to die. So if you don't practice daily, then the little plant will fail and then you'll feel bad. And when you come on retreat and you realize, can't sit still, haven't practiced in a while, why? Haven't done precepts for a while, why? The precept of present moment awareness is a culmination of sila, virtue, even if you don't recite it very well, but you remember it. And sati, one of the meanings of mindfulness is remembering. What do you have to remember? It's not just present moment awareness, but it's the integrity of your awareness, so that all the threads of your life are tied into one thick rope which will pull you to safety, to freedom, to Nibbana. Up that tallest of mountains that seems unscalable, and yet you can scale it with this thread. It's a thread of freedom, the path of purification. It's noble, it's kind, it's complete, it's humane, it's the highest peace. The highest potential of our humanity is this. Why not devote ourselves to it more and more? So we have these days together, and may we have some fruit from our effort, from our beautiful intentions, and from the fact that we are sons and daughters of the Buddha. And the Buddha lives within us. Across millennia, the Buddha is here because we're channeling. It's like a radio or radio stations. And believe it or not, the knob, the button is in your heart. Nowhere else.